Michael Jones, County Administrator. I have a presentation, so give me just a second and I'll share that on the screen. It's pretty quick.
If you're made a presenter, then you can't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I just, it's always a struggle to get it into the slideshow and share. So what I wanted to do was just give you an update on the activities of the Jail Replacement Steering Committee. The Steering Committee's had a number of meetings and then just going to run through the agenda topics. You do have a memo in your packet that also talks about it. I'll be happy to answer any questions at the end or even as we go along. My second item is related to the jail, which is informational item on a request for proposals going out for communications and public relations. And then Ryan Beach, our facilities director, has another jail related item for his item, which is right after mine. So there have been four meetings. I guess maybe just as a quick refresher, it might make sense to say that the steering committee, you'll remember the board authorized the committee. It's made up of the district court judge, one superior court judge, the prosecuting attorney, the sheriff, and one commissioner, Commissioner Johnson. The committee is also staffed by a number of staff people, including myself and Mr. Beach, and representatives from courts and health and human from human services and budget. So we have, also from the jail itself. So we have a pretty good team there. I would actually say we have a great team there with a lot of technical expertise as well as kind of the legislative and oversight aspect of things. The meetings have occurred since March, and the first meeting, we talked a bit about budget control, essentially kind of managing scope creep and bearing in mind that there are realistic limitations related to funding that we will encounter as we go along, and that's kind of an overriding topic. We did talk a bit also about developing a reserve, and you'll probably remember from some of the budget conversations that Commissioner Johnson had talked about, you know, we had some very expensive projects up and coming, and we need to be conscientious of having some money reserved for those kinds of things. We have started to evaluate pre-borrowing expenses or pre-decision expenses. The decision ultimately would go to the voters, and we were kind of trying to get a handle on, well, what would it cost to get us to a point where we're ready to ask that question of the voters? And actually, some of the items that we have later today are directly related to that. And then we talked about funding options and budget capacity, the ability for the county to pay, and what do different things look like. So real, just very general information on those topics. We then also met with had a presentation from a public relations consultant to talk about communicating for ballot measures. And that was, I think, really informative for the group, the idea that it's very important to be really clear and get really solid information out on the topic so that voters can make an informed decision either for or against funding the improvement or the new facility as it will be in this case. We reviewed requests for proposals that Mr. Beach had prepared, and that's the item that he has today to talk about scoping a jail facility for us. So we reviewed those. We've had an overview of our current facility from Jose, and get a real good understanding of, you know, what we have in place and how the jail operates. So we've kind of been trying to educate the committee as we've moved along.
Can I just ask a quick question there, Ryan? I love Jose. We all know that he's an amazing human, but he has a certain expertise in operations. Have you also done a full and thorough assessment of the facility issues?
That is ongoing, but we do have that wrapped into the body of work that I'm proposing that I will be bringing forward right after Michael presents.
Yeah, I mean, I think his expertise on the workflow and the operations and, you know, that human factors part of it all is super important, but I also want to make sure we have the expertise of someone who professionally does
Absolutely.
facilities management and give us a facilities
Yes.
update.
And we are capturing that in the feasibility study. Hoping
Thank
to.
you.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's great. It's a pretty easy flow of presentation, so that's fine. We also considered committee rules, and ultimately the committee decided they didn't need a rule set, and that they are moving forward with items. They will move items forward to the board with consensus, or with the board being informed that they did not reach consensus. So they're not actually sort of voting on things, but just saying, yes, this is ready to go forward and we support this, or we have differences of opinion here, and then I would report that, or if it was an item for Ryan or someone else, that they would report that. Moving on, we reviewed the RFP that Ryan's going to present on later, the responses to those, and went through a consultant selection process. That's basically the first two items right there. And actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. We talked about next steps in that process, and we did an overview of the proposals and talked about the schedule for review. And then at the next meeting, we actually got to the point where the staff recommended someone, but that comes on the next slide. We talked about funding options. One of the items, you might remember a memo that also came to the board related to jails being what is the possibility of getting funding for jail improvements from the state legislature, something that Josh prepared for this committee, but also I sent it to the board. And basically, he was saying it's going to be, that would be a very difficult ask. And so we reported that to the committee.
A difficult ask. I'm sorry, Commissioner.
An unlikely to fund ask, I guess, is a better way to put
A
it.
difficult ask to get funding to support our work up to the jail or a capital request after the jail?
It was mostly related to capital requests, but that also was considered, the idea of funding up to going to the voters.
Do the feds ever assist with this kind of thing?
We have not found that information that they do. We've had some really preliminary conversations with Virgie McIntyre about it, and they said that they would look into it, but have not provided us with anything that says that it's there.
Just for the record, it's somewhat different than the meeting that Chair Felici and I had with Representative Davis, who chairs the jail transformation or jail, whatever the workforce is on jails.
Yeah.
That there is money, the legislature's looking, recognizing that this is a crisis across our state. So it's somewhat a different response than I had heard in our meeting, but we have plenty of time to poke at that.
Yeah, and I guess I would actually can report a little bit on that. It would be best for Sheriff Felici probably to share the information because he has firsthand knowledge, but he did report on some follow-up on that to the committee. And essentially, as I recall, his report was that money isn't really there, that wasn't quite the information they intended to share.
That's different than the meeting he and I had. He was first directed to a different House representative who he had been told could pull money out of the sky. Always a little interesting. That was not accurate. We then met with this other House representative who chairs the Justice and has very helped build the Linwood Jail, worked on other jails across our state. So I'm not arguing with Josh. I'm just saying we need to unpack that a bit further because that was not the impression, and I need to circle back to Rick to see if he had the same impression from our meeting with Rep. Davis about what's available and what's not. And I think my intention would be to look, of course, because that's where everything is to look at commerce and the if there is a legislative ask, it's likely to follow a vote of the people. In other words, the bond, the legislature would likely tie anything to do your constituents agree with it? This is just Janet thinking, right? But they often will say, do you have community support as demonstrated by a bond on big projects? So I would guess we've got plenty of time to poke around at this.
Yeah, for some of the work, and if it were to go towards construction, we definitely have time for it. I think that you have more information related to it than, or more current information related to those conversations than we had from the sheriff
And
from
that's
at the time
fair.
of the committee.
At the time of the committee meeting, we were still trying to figure out who is the right person to talk to. And then I introduced him to the person that I knew who works on jail.
And
There's
maybe
a
we can have a
committee name that
follow-up
I'll think
meeting.
of in about an hour or two.
We'll still be here,
I
Jen.
will remember the name of that committee, but it may take me a little while.
And maybe you, the sheriff, and I can have a meeting to kind of hash that out to
Unpack that
see where we
out.
are.
And it's not my, it's Jill's thing anyway. It just I happen to have a relationship.
The other items, of course, that we talked about are other methods of funding. We talked about were tax measures. Those would be either a property tax levy or a sales tax. We do have the option of a 0.3% sales tax that could be utilized. There are pros and cons of the different ones, right? How they impact the community, who pays, who doesn't pay, those sorts of things. And then we talked about securing financing, how we would go through that process. And essentially, there are really two options. One is to go into the market for a bond offering, where we would basically ask someone to buy our bond. And then there's the option of private capital as well, where you can go to lenders who offer large capital loans.
Do we have a dollar range that we're thinking about in these conversations? Or is that something we would prefer not to elucidate on at this
We're
time?
working on developing that now.
Yeah.
And that'll be in the body of the feasibility study.
Okay.
So we understand that better, right?
In the only way that we've talked about it is with examples of what other jails have cost, what the bond payment amounts would be on, say, for example, a $50 million bond. So it's been examples of what other people have paid or what their projections are, and then kind of hypotheticals of like to get a sense of, well, could we afford one, right? When
Sure.
you look at if it's a $50 million bond, this is what the bond payment would be every year. So, wow, that's a big number. Can we afford that? How do we generate that revenue? But like Ryan said, that's what we're his project works on, is getting to what might it actually cost to build, and what do we need is the first step of what might it cost, right? At our most recent meeting, the committee reviewed a proposal from a consultant, which came in above our $25,000 purchasing authority without going through a public solicitation, an RFP process. That's why my next item is an RFP. The committee said we should go out for an RFP. We don't want to ask for an exception or for this work. Request of diversion services. That's not really the right word there. It was a presentation of diversion services. I'm not sure what I was trying to write there. There was a report from the jail court and human services staff to again inform the committee and educate the committee on the services that we're currently providing, which are quite a few, and they do it in very limited space and very limited cap, just facilities to support it, which is one of our big challenges. And then there are some potential services that we could add that would be, considered during the scope. Things like a work release program would be an example of that. We don't do that now. That is something we could potentially do in a different facility.
We need more space to support our diversion programs, but those diversion programs decrease the need to stay for space to incarcerate people. And they're better for people.
No, diversion's better.
And some of those diversion programs are also maybe better described as anti-recidivism programs. So that would be people that
100%.
are in jail,
Yep.
working with them to not come back as another visitor to jail in the future, right? So then you have both. You have space for the services and space for the occupancy. But you're right, it's a trade-off. We need, if we want to, and if we invest money in facilities and resources for diversion, have people not come to jail at all, then potentially we save money on the jail space. And then again, we revisited the idea of the costs associated with getting to a voter decision. And it was actually kind of a positive information for me, because working with a bonding agent and all of the things that you do up front related to the bond work, with an attorney for bonding, all of that is actually done essentially pro bono. It's built into the cost of the bond. If the measure fails, if you don't do the bond, you don't pay those folks. And that was really helpful information, because it's similar to private capital. If you do private capital, all those early conversations and all of the assessments and the evaluations of your agency or organization's ability to pay, all of that work with private capital is done without cost. And then you essentially pay for that in your interest on the loan if you take out the loan from them. The bond market is set up kind of similar to essentially compete, where there aren't a lot of upfront costs. Our upfront costs will be the things that, like, Ryan is going to present on in a little bit, which is the scoping and design and that sort of work, and the public relations that I'll talk about here in a moment.
So our jail is, as it exists right now, is primarily for local Island County offenders. Our treatment center is a regional treatment center. Are we having any conversation about our jail being serving a region, or is the intention of this jail to continue to serve the local population?
I think both. There have been conversations about it being more of the capacity to be a regional kind of facility, but the committee's general view on it is we don't need to do that. We should build an Island County facility. There's been some consideration about the idea of having specialty beds, which might be related to mental health challenges with inmates, and that might be something that is a service that we might be better equipped to handle for some nearby counties as well. But all of that is very, very early. And I think the general perspective at this point of the committee is we just need to build a facility that works for Island County and not something larger where we're leasing out space.
I absolutely appreciate that. My only concern, and maybe it's because of the time of what Jan and Jill and I are going through right now, it is about asking the citizens to pay for the jail at this, you know, anytime in the next 12, 18, 24 months. I think we would get a more open reaction if we were sharing the cost burden with other jurisdictions. It's the only reason I even mentioned that as a thing to consider going forward. It might be an easier sell if it wasn't just Island County citizens who are having to pay for it ultimately.
Oh, right. Yeah. And that would, unless we did some sort of interlocal agreement and truly worked cooperatively to build a facility,
right,
then it would be through bed payments, essentially like lease payments for space that others would pay. One of the challenges related to that is Whatcom County is in the process of building a new larger jail now. Okay. Skagit just recently completed a larger jail that they're not even utilizing all of the space in.
Really?
So some of maybe our typical partners
would not
don't have the need. And I think probably some of them would argue that we're not really well located to serve as that facility because we're not central to others.
But maybe San Juan would be interested.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to get some data on a question I have from our risk pool? Would you find out if what are the insurance implications and incident rate in jails in terms of the risk of having a larger jail to our county's liability?
Sure.
You follow my question? Because I realize whether it's my headache or whatever, I'm not as articulate as I wish I was today.
And I'm going to say you with a larger jail, you mean a jail that accommodates others rather than just us building a bigger
jail. I've heard other commissioners in meetings say it is the largest liability you carry in a county.
And that has been expressed to us from the sheriff and from the chief deputy, those kinds of topics as well. The idea that it's a very risky, you know, it's a risky facility because we are fully responsible for the people that are there.
I've heard it said. I just have never further researched it and looked at the data and what the recommendation of the risk pool would be.
I can definitely look into that, and we can share that with the committee as well. So next steps with that group, and are also next steps with the board, some of them almost immediate steps, project scoping. So what do we need in our future projections? What do we want in the facility? And to some degree, what can we afford? It's early to know that last piece. And then communications, because people are starting to talk about it, and information, we want to make sure we're really clear with information and presenting things effectively. So the committee would like to bring a public relations consultant on early to develop communication and a plan for that, and then work with us through the term as we go to a vote. And then, of course, ultimately, we'll come and work with the board on funding options, because those are going to be really, really big questions. So that's all I have, unless you have other questions for me. And then my next item on the agenda is the request for proposals related to communication.
I have a second request.
About 12, 13 years ago, there was a vote of the people on law enforcement, and the people said, no way, Jose. So we might want to look into what worked and did not work with that particular initiative to see what kind of lessons we should draw from that experience.
Yeah, and we can share that with whoever we hire for public relations. And when we looked into funding options, that was one of the things that we ran into, or we became aware of, is that the county did try an initiative in the past and it wasn't successful.
Was this the levy in 2013?
Was it 2013?
I just googled it.
Yeah.
Citizens said no.
Yeah.
Can't pay for
it. I have one question.
Yep.
One thing I don't have clarity on is, we just started this. We established the committee and started this in 2024. What is our estimated timeline for this whole process? And do we have a sense of what's going to happen when? Because I saw Whatcom, their project took multiple years to get across the finish line. And so I just was curious what our timeline is. You don't have to tell me now. I can.
Oh. And so we've evaluated it. We've looked at, we sort of developed a whole timeline of, these are the different steps that need to take place, coming to the board, working through different things, doing an RFP for design. Ryan has a copy of it here.
That's what I want.
and we are behind schedule already, not dramatically behind schedule, but it will be imperative for us to move along and continue to keep taking steps without delay, because our proposal is to go for a vote in the early part of 2026. We would still have the sheriff, the prosecuting attorney that we have now in office at that time, for sure. They mm-hmm. wouldn't be running. They may or may not be running, right? We don't know that. And so that seems to be good timing. Also, the need is there. It's not just that's convenient, right? We could use the facility today. But that's the timeline that we're looking at. And depending upon the funding, depending upon the method of repaying the debt related to the project, there might be specific elections that we have to or cannot go to. For example, if you're going to do a levy, property tax levy, you can go at any of the elections. If you're doing the sales tax measure, it has to be at, I believe it's the primary or the general election. So there are some specific timings that may play out. But right now, we're trying to get ready for one in the beginning of 2026.
I think that how we sell this is going to be really important, really interesting, because I don't think the citizens are going to be interested in giving criminals a pretty new place to live. I think they are going to be interested in the mental health beds. They want people who are suffering from the opioid crisis to get better and be productive citizens of the society. And if this is going to help that to happen, I think, and we really focused on that, I think we'd be more likely to get support.
Yeah, and we have talked about the idea that there are, not to oversimplify it, and this probably is oversimplifying it, but there are sort of two mindsets. One is give people the help they need to not end up in this situation. And the other is if someone breaks the law, they need to be in jail,
mm-hmm.
right? So you kind of have to balance that and provide those services, but also recognize that there are some folks that need to pay a debt to society.
Yeah.
And that is something that has to be balanced in the project and in the messaging. You mentioned Whatcom County Commissioner, and I think it took the third time was the charm for them in going through and actually getting funding. And some of that was what they'd struggled with was it being, you know, people who don't think we need jails and people who think we do need jails, and people think it should all be services to keep people from going to jail. And Whatcom County has done a lot, and we can look at them and learn from what they've done, right. which we have been doing.
Right. Okay.
And they ultimately found the balance.
The argument in that, I mean, it's there's the punitive justice philosophy and there's the restorative justice philosophy.
Yep.
That's the words I was looking for that mm-hmm. I've been hearing coming out of Olympia is investments in restorative justice facilities. So it is an important conversation to bring the public into. Also, next year, if there's a chance to go up and visit and meet with Whatcom County, I think it might be illuminating for the board as a field trip.
That's a good idea.
That would be interesting.
I know I've talked with Barry Buchanan about this quite a bit.
Yeah, he was the chair, I believe, of the last committee that they had that was working with the community to develop a plan to go back to the citizens for another vote on another facility. And that was the one that was finally successful.
Okay, RFP.
So this has had obviously a lot of introduction in what I just talked about, what this is here for the board just to be aware and to get any input that you have. I'm putting out an RFP for a consultant for public relations communications related to the jail replacement project. The scope of work is starts on the sort of the first page that isn't the cover sheet. Towards the bottom, it's to meet with the jail steering committee and the county administrator as needed to understand the project, develop draft messaging material to be reviewed by the county, revise and finalize that message material, then develop a communication plan that outlines the ways that we would communicate that information out, a variety of different media developed for different forums. So for example, like PowerPoint presentations, flyers, mailers, those sorts of things, web posting, social media, and then assist the county with implementing that communication plan when it really ramps up. So we sort of see two phases in this from the committee's perspective is we need to have some messaging now. We need to understand effectively how to talk about this project now. And ultimately, we will need to be very effective in explaining the need and the project itself that we don't have designed yet in the future when it's ready to go to a vote. The board included in the proposed budget for 2025, $50,000 for this work in this scope of work. I indicate a budget that should not exceed $75,000. That is because this work would go over into 2026 because of the going to a vote in 2026. So it takes into account the idea that presumably the board would budget more money for it in the 2026 budget. And then we would post this, of course, and advertise this, and then we would go through a pretty standard review process, much like what was happened with what Ryan just did for the scoping. Any thoughts on that?
I had to remind myself, what's the difference between an RFQ and an RFP? I'm looking online, but do we know what we want, or we're asking them to give us more information so that we can know better what we want?
We're asking for them to develop a more complete proposal. We're giving them an outline, as I just went over, of what we would like, but they are the experts on this.
That's why it's an RFP. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you. And then I would request in the scope of work that there be survey data, because part of the communication plan has to look at not only what we want to say, but what is the opposition to our goal and how do we address that opposition. So I would like to see a survey instrument of some kind in that scope of work so we know what the opposition is, the public concerns, not opposition, the public concerns are, so that we know how to address those.
I can certainly add that into the proposed scope of work as a concept. I don't see why not. And then obviously the consultant would advise us on the best way to do that work.
It was in a capital campaign I did before in my previous life. That's what our consultants recommended.
Yeah. So if you don't have anything else, my plan for this would be to just go out and advertise this soon, probably this month, and then we would go through a review process. The committee would review it, and we would come forward with a recommended contract to the board.
So is the committee seeing this?
Yes.
Okay. If the committee's seeing this and they're fine with it, then I'm fine with it too, with Janet's change.
Great. Thank you.
And then facilities, your piece of this.
Good morning. Ryan Beach, Director of Facilities Management. So as Michael outlined, we've been working on this for quite a while. I actually started this late 2023 with the RFP that was drafted. Just to take you through a quick timeline of what's occurred so far outside of what Michael outlined. So we went out with the legal notice April, May. We got proposals back in May. Interviews took place in July. We had a really good showing for, and the consultants have actually been through our buildings, through the jail and everything, so they've seen all of it. But we got four respondents for submittals, and then we broke that down to three. We selected for interviews through the staff selection process. Let's see, August and September, we used that for scope and fee development and negotiation of the cost. And now we're here to contracting. So what I'm bringing from you today is the consultant contract. And I drafted a letter, I think in your packet, it's probably at the end of what I'm presenting. But so it's broken down into basically 13 tasks, with 11 of those being the body of the feasibility study. And it's outlined in Exhibit A in the contract, if you wanted to go there and see. But task one and two are the project kickoff for task one, and then task two would be stakeholder meeting interviews, and they will reach out to all the stakeholders that we believe that they should, and working with them, if they bring up any more, we can do that and get the project kicked off. So like Michael also mentioned, we are a little bit behind, but we're not too far off. We're about, I'd say, 3 weeks behind right now, due to constraints with scheduling and things that just happen. So our selection, we got, and I'm going to read from my letter that I surprised. After careful consideration of the presentations, interviews, and written proposals, the committee has determined that CGL Management is the most qualified firm to conduct the Island County Jail Feasibility Study. CGL demonstrated a comprehensive understanding of Island County's specific needs and presented a well-structured and innovative approach to the study. Their team possesses a strong track record in correctional facility projects, and the proposed program aligns most closely with the county's objectives. While J. Farbstein & Associates and CRA & Associates offered valuable insights and proposals, their submissions did not meet the evaluation criteria as comprehensively as CGL. As a project manager, I recommend that the Board of County Commissioners contract with CGL Management to perform the Island County Jail Feasibility Study. And I'm asking that we could move forward with this to consent and get the study started.
And so the jail committee, have they had any input on this?
Yes, they had input. They've seen all of the scope. They've seen, they were involved in, ratifying the selection of the consultant.
They were.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, then they've put the time and energy into it. So I don't have a reason to disagree with that recommendation.
Okay.
I have a couple questions. Go back to task one and two, and how is that not redundant to the RFP that Michael talked about?
In what respect?
You're talking the last bullet point, task one, talks about defined communication challenges, channels, mm-hmm. and then there's in task two, the last bullet point says identify primary justice system issues, a clear list or summary. That's some of what we're also asking the consultant to work on.
The communication channels in Ryan, in the proposal that Ryan has, is the project management communication.
Okay,
that's not with public. Yes. So that same word, but not the same stuff. And then the second one, I'm not quite sure the answer to.
I guess in this scope of work, you might want to say define, just for clarity for people like me that was thinking things that didn't exist there, define the internal communication channels. Just add that word. And then it's, this is an internal document to help with work project management.
Okay.
You decide, but that should
be
the recommendation. I'm not hard over on that because you explained it. Just like that.
Yeah, it's almost two different things going in tandem because it's the project management piece, my piece, the nuts and bolts, and then the body of the work that we're asking for is a feasibility study. So
that's what I
can see why it is
looking. Task 3 through 6 is all the feasibility issues, the concrete things that I asked you about earlier when we were talking about. So 100%.
And in reading the second part there for in task 2, what I would say is the communication public relations person would communicate the issues that are identified through this through Ryan's process. So the public relations folks aren't going to work with us to determine what our challenges and issues are. We're going to deliver to them, these are our challenges and issues. How do we effectively communicate that?
And then the piece I said, what is the external public relations challenges we're going to have in achieving our goal? That's also part of your RFQ or RFP.
Right.
So, okay, I just wanted to be clear in my own head that we have clear lanes. Yes.
Absolutely.
Can we talk a little bit about the cost?
Yes.
So section 2, compensation, it starts by saying for proper performance of basic services subject to Article 5.0, CGL will pay CGL the lump sum fee. Isn't it?
Oops.
Okay.
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Right?
I'm there. Yes.
Okay.
And then the next one says we'll pay. Then it says next one says Island County is going to pay them on any hourly basis in accordance with the hourly billing rates stated in Exhibit B. So now I need to go to Exhibit B and see what additional billing is part of that. So that's the 200 and whatever is the lump sum that somebody's giving somebody. And then
it's all the tasks 1 through 12.
Okay, so then, but there's hourly rates on top of that. Well, it still says the total is 252.
Correct.
Right.
The 252 is like a not to exceed amount. When they do all of those things, the payment would be the lump sum, right?
Okay, so what the commissioners need to be thinking about as far as what this is going to cost us is $252,000.
$252,950.
Okay. Yes. Plus then we're also doing $75,000 for the RFP.
Over a year and a half of contracting, we assume.
Okay. So we're putting money into this sucker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's approximately then the 46 hours divided by the cost basis. Okay. But I like the first option, have CGL pay.
I agree.
Let's get them to sign them.
No matter how many sets of eyes you have.
I know, it's always something.
Yeah. It's true. Okay, did you have any more questions of Ryan, Anna?
No, thank you.
Is there anything more, Ryan, you think we should be asking about or paying attention to?
I'll go back and screen this contract again.
Okay.
Make sure we can flesh out anything else.
I glanced at the news article about the previous law and justice levy, and some of it was tiny. We were ready to go out, and then 2008 happened.
Right.
And we had a crash in our economy, and there was a quote from Commissioner Price Johnson way back then that talked about the importance of this work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So should we move on to the next item? We have a hard stop in 15 minutes. We have time. The treasurer isn't going to be here. Do you want to do the commissioner's office, Layla?
I could definitely do our previous appointment, and I can call Jen to see if you can come over and do this.
Okay.
Heather.
The Dyking District.
Yeah. I could probably talk about it, but...
Sure. And I'm she and I've talked so much about it because it's in my district that I'm ready to move that one forward fairly quickly. I believe we now have 3 applicants.
Okay.
you, I would defer to you on the EBs.
Oh, yeah. Mayor Hughes and I both interviewed the gentleman.
And I'm comfortable just off the top. If she's comfortable, and Mayor Hughes and both interviewed this person, we can move it forward. All right, so then I will move.
Good job, Layla.
Excellent. I will move his appointment onto consent.
Catherine, you're online. Do you want to find a, can you do what you need to do in 10 minutes?
Is Jen coming back on the first one?
She didn't say anything about whether she was or wasn't coming. She just wanted to let you know. It's awesome.
Catherine
is canceled.
Okay. Well, so what is the budget conversation?
John is discussing moving the public hearing to the consent agenda for the budget finalization on December 2nd.
We can totally do that. See if Susan can come over.
Yeah.
Because that's a 3-minute thing.
That's a quickie. Yeah.
Or she can do it online. I don't care. She's online.
There is nothing in the packet, Commissioner Bacon, on the Dyking District 3 discussion, but we had the work session and it was Bonnie and Ann.
Yes.
Additional one is Whidbey Camino Land Trust is a significant property owner in that area, and they have submitted a letter as well.
Oh, that they would like to.
That they would like to. Board. So that fulfills 3 positions on the Dyking District mm-hmm. Board. Do you have any concerns?
I have no concerns.
I would just move that forward.
She doesn't have to come over for that.
It moves to regular because you have to do it.
Oh, and we have to do a public hearing and swear them in.
If Susan can do it online, that would be great.
I'm fine with Susan online.
Polls.
Yeah, I'm all.
So we've knocked off the 100% on the commissioner ones.
All we're going to have left is public health after our exec session.
I'm pleased that we got all 3 positions filled on the Dyking District because if we only had 2 anytime, we have 1 of 2 and 1 is sick or something happens, you're back to square 1 on the issues with the SAO. So we are fully restaffed on that. Well, and I say that for the public record because there was an article in the Whidbey News Times about it.
Uh-huh.
That we fully restored. The Dyking District was recommended to be dissolved. That official action never took place, so we don't need to restate it. So now we're fully operational with Dyking District 3 and everything's ready to go with these 3 appointments. So I think that's good news for everybody.
Okay, great. I just have 1 more comment regarding Dyking District. So I had a citizen ask me a question. She needed to talk to somebody on the board of Dyking District 6. And so I said, well, okay, I'll find out who that is. And Jen finds out that Dyking District 6 is inactive. So we may have to go through this over again with a different Dyking District. Okay, so Susan.
Hello.
We took care of it.
Did I say something wrong?
Oh, what did you say wrong?
Well, not.
Take a breath.
Sorry.
So in speaking to Sheila Kreider, the auditor, yesterday, we do have 4 applicants.
4 now?
Okay.
So Sheila suggested, although the board only needs to appoint 2, and then they can appoint the 3rd, it's possible to on the 22nd to just appoint all 3, which will then make a full board.
That's what we had hoped.
So position 1 would serve a 2-year term, and they would be on the ballot on February 2026. And then I think Sheila misspoke. It should be, 2026 for a 2-year term. Position 2 would be February 2026 on the ballot, would serve a 4-year term. And then position 3 would serve a 6-year term.
So stagger them. And what are the 4 applicants?
They're the 3 from before.
The 3 from before. And then there was an additional one that had requested to be part of the packet.
Right.
And we had missed his application.
And the 3rd one is the Whidbey Camino Land Trust that called me.
Yes.
Okay.
And so all candidates selected by the board will be appointed to serve until February 2026, but they have to file in December 2025 for the 2026 election.
And that is not the responsibility of our office to inform them of that. The auditor will make sure that she has communicated with them about their responsibilities to file for the election.
Yes, but we will put this on the regular agenda, and however many applicants or that you appoint, and then we swear them in, we will let them know what position they are and when their term ends. So we will give them that information, but we will not send out a reminder.
So
that is correct.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that the commissioners have made it clear they're really not interested in all four. The commissioners are interested in the three, which you...
Yeah, there's only three positions. So there's four candidates and there's three positions.
But the board had at a work session a conversation that they felt like having two members be on that board from a single family would create potential fiduciary conflicts or conflicts of interest, or is that a balanced board? Now that we have three candidates,
yes,
from three separate families that are property holders in that area, it is, I will only speak for myself, it is my intention to have three from three separate property owners.
Yes,
and I've spoken to my constituents who, the family member that I've spoken to them about that, they're not unhappy about that. No. They just wanted to solve a problem.
Yeah. So instead of initially last work session, there was only going to be two appointed, but because we've discovered that the other applicant was able to got permission from his board to request to be placed
for decision.
And you're comfortable with that.
I'm fine with it.
I think what we're moving forward is not four to that public hearing. We're moving forward. The board would like to move forward three, correct?
Absolutely.
Three. And then what we can do is you can, we'll put this on the agenda for the 22nd, and then they will just be sworn in.
That sounds good.
That sounds like what I remember from our last meeting.
Yes.
Where I'm at
We just wanted to clarify, and I just wanted to know that I did speak to the auditor, and these were the terms and when they do need to request to be placed on the ballot.
Okay. Thank you, Jen.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. All right, Susan, sorry. Where'd she go? Did she decide to come over here? Oh, there she is. You hid yourself again. Okay. You're on.
Didn't want to intrude on that section of the meeting. So
thank you.
So with the, in your packet is the resolutions to set the public hearing for adopting the 2025 budget, and also the resolutions to adopt the levies. Right now, we're reviewing those documents to make sure that they're good to go to be put on the consent agenda next Tuesday to schedule the public hearings for the budget and for the levies.
So may I ask a clarifying question, Susan?
Yes, ma'am.
Our action on Tuesday is to schedule the public hearing, not to take final action on any of these resolutions.
That's correct.
But what this is providing citizens, they can go and look in our packet right now and they can get a sense of what our budget's going to be in 2026 if everything goes the way we anticipate it would go. So there's a value to that too. So are you all right, Commissioner, with us moving forward this to schedule a public hearing or to put it on the consent agenda to schedule a public hearing on the next Tuesday's board meeting?
Right. So that's fine. We're going to put this on consent. Public hearing is where we can have, to your point, the additional opportunity for people to speak into that. And what are we looking at for the public hearing? You may have said
December 2nd.
Oh, heavens.
Okay. Oh, we know you're virtual.
I will be I will be in virtually, but I promised that I will be there.
Great.
I had a prior commitment. Thank you.
So, yes, Susan, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yep. Sounds good.
This is regarding human resources.
Okay. So this is for me to read.
This is Catherine is asking for that, if that's what it is.
Okay, so let me find the human resources agenda item so I can refer correctly to what the agenda item was. And it had to do with
where we are.
We're looking at Catherine Reed's agenda item, which had to do with chief deputy prosecuting attorney salary. And so so what I would like, Commissioner, if you're all right with this, is for us to direct the human resources director to work with the prosecuting attorney's office to bring back a joint, I suppose,
recommendation
on the chief prosecuting deputy prosecuting attorney's salary.
I don't see anything in the packet.
Here it is. These are my two documents I'm operating with.
Yeah, she didn't offer an attachment.
Yeah, she was just going to come speak to it.
She was just going
to
come speak to you.
So are you okay with that?
Well, yeah, it's like, go do that which we want you to do, work with the department, the elected official overseeing that, and come back to the board.
Yep, that's exactly right. We have directed HR in the manner that Commissioner St. Clair has just identified. All righty. And so we are going to, someplace I have a yellow piece of paper that tells me what we're doing. Here it is. So we're going to recess. The board's going to reconvene for an executive session at 10 o'clock as allowed under RCW 42.30.1101I with legal counsel to discuss litigation or potential litigation. The executive session will occur in the admin room 116 and is expected to last 30 minutes until 10:30 a.m. with no announcement is anticipated. And then after that, then we will move into public health when we return.
Before we convene this meeting, I meant to do this at the beginning. I'm sure you're all aware of the growler crash on Mount Rainier yes. last night. And I just want to take a moment from the board to offer our thoughts. Our hearts are with the airmen and their families, and our prayers are for their safety and for the leadership at Woodbine Naval Air Station. I've just been fretting about this since late last night when I read the news.
Yeah, thank you, Commissioner, for raising that. We're with the community of Oak Harbor and their concerns. Good. Sorry.
I didn't want to touch you up.
I had nothing else. Thank you. The board will reconvene for executive session, as I mentioned a moment ago. Meeting is recessed until 10 o'clock for executive session.
The board has come out of executive session and requested 15 more minutes.
Hello, we're back and we're here with Public Health, who has three items for us. I'm going to turn it over to Taylor Lawson, Deputy Director.
Thank you, Commissioners. The first item on our list for today is the Whatcom County contract for the Youth Cannabis Tobacco Prevention Program. This typically, as you can see in the contract, is around $35,000, but because it has now become a cumulative of over $100,000, I wanted to bring it to the board. And that's cumulative over the last few years. Just kind of, since this is my first work session, I just wanted to make sure to cross my T's and dot my I's on that, and to allow their opportunity for input on the contract before asking for it to go to consent.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hold on. I want to understand. I'm coming in late in my brain. So this is our youth prevention program where they've been, am I right?
Yeah, for youth cannabis tobacco prevention.
Right. So they've been providing the materials, the canned ads, the stuff we use on Facebook, and they've been doing it for a while.
Correct. In the last few years, our funding has gone down just a little bit each year in allocations. This year, it's at $35,000, and Whatcom holds the contract and is able to allocate more to each county if needed.
I remember this. I'm fine.
But since it's now a cumulative of over $100,000.
I just had to get it back in my brain.
Yeah, no problem.
Right. No, this is fine going to consent. This is good, Taylor.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, item two.
Item two is also, I know that the board has talked quite a few times about the mobile services van. And so I wanted to bring the contract for Trivan to the board. We were able to talk through this with North Sound ECH to get the funding extended until June of next year. So there's no issues with allocating that funding towards the Trivan project. So just to ask for the approval for this contract with Trivan and to move to consent.
Okay. You know, sometimes I just focus on a minor, super minor thing, and I've just done that. I apologize. I'm looking at the summary for this, and it's the last sentence in the summary. It says, we propose a ribbon-cutting ceremony, our Board of Health accompanied by a press release once the completed vehicle is delivered. Yeah, I guess that works. So when are we anticipating delivery?
I spoke with facilities and delivery of the van. So we've purchased the van and it's expected to be delivered by mid-November. Okay. And so I will communicate with Trivan as kind of like finding that timeline of when they can start their work as well. But thankfully, since North Sound has approved the extension of the funding until the middle of next year, we anticipate that it'll be completed on time.
And do you have any questions, Commissioner?
No, you went over this with me.
Okay. And so Trivan is going to set it up so that it's a mobile unit.
Exactly, yeah. The van will come to us pretty much just the shell of the van, and then Trivan will be responsible for building it out for us.
Okay, and we think Trivan's work will be completed by when? I'm sure you have it on yourself.
They anticipated by late spring of next year. I believe it was April 30th.
April 30th. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that. Okay. Sounds good. Okay. We look forward to this. I remember we were very excited by their initial presentation. So it'd be great to have this in place.
It sure has been transformative in Pierce County.
Right.
What they're doing out there with these mobile vans, it's really created an access that was just critical. I mean, it's amazing when we get out of the box or the building, what we can do.
Absolutely. That additional touch point with folks, right? And being able to build relationships.
It's the only preventative and sometimes interventions they get.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Especially those who have mental health issues that make them unable to trust coming into a facility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and then our third item.
Wonderful. Chris, would you, Heather, are you okay?
Okay.
So the third item is also just more of an update, but also to solidify a contract for our Island Regional Coordinated Water System Plan study. Mm-hmm. Yes, to go to consent.
Okay. So as Sean and I had previously discussed with the commissioners, this is a joint project between health and planning to get a consultant on board with reviewing the coordinated water system plan. So the original plan was written in the early 90s and the text of the plan has not been updated since then. And so any of the statutory changes that have came through, for example, climate resiliency is supposed to be in the coordinated water system plan now. Ours obviously doesn't have that. And so they're doing a review to look at kind of categorize what's missing that's required by statute now. What portions of our own Island County Code have changed that needs to be updated in the coordinated water system plan? And then anything that is kind of no longer applicable, can it be removed? And to give us then a scope to say, this is how much it would cost us to go out and hire a consultant to do a full official review and update of the plan.
So in 2020, we were in the midst of a slight problem in our nation that diverted much of our attention away from core business that would have been happening. The Water Resource Advisory, the RAC, brought forward the Coordinated Water System Plan at that time that year. For obvious reasons, we deferred talking about it and we've continued to sort of defer. But I know that when you were hired, that was given to you. How much of this work is intertwined with the work that happened over, I think, about 2 or 3 years with the RAC? How much of this will build upon the work that the RAC did at that time that your department used to manage.
Yeah. So the comments that were provided by the RAC have been given to the consultant for them to review as well. Uh-huh. And so while the RAC was providing kind of a high level overview of their opinion of what, as the constituents of the island would like to see in it, the consultant is doing more of the both the engineering and the policy side of what is required by law now to be in it.
That's really good, because that's the critical piece. And in that, even the RAC was not in consensus about the recommendations. There was some division among RAC members about some of the recommendations that went forward. And the consultant is aware of those differences of opinion.
Yes. So the consultant is going to provide a report. And then once we have that report, we would then convene the WUC, the Water Utility Coordination Commission, which is a combination of a representative from the commissioners, the planning department, the health department, and one.
I didn't know we had a WUC.
We don't have an active one right now.
Is there?
And then it would be the WUC's decision of whether or not to actually go forward with doing a review and update.
I'll support it as long as we get to call it WUCI. Just saying.
So, you were telling us who's on the WUC. Does it include anyone from the public?
It includes one purveyor, so a water system manager that has a system with at least 50 connections. Okay. Yes, and yeah, those are the minimums. Obviously, we could expand it to as large as the commissioners wanted.
And I'm trying to figure out, this is an informational presentation you're giving to us?
No, he's got a contract for the consultant for $100,000.
Okay. Correct, and we're asking to move that to consent.
Okay.
Has this been reviewed by all parties?
Yes.
Is it budgeted?
Yes.
Those are always my big questions. Has it gone through contract review and is it budgeted? Chris, I appreciate you.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy we're going forward and we're going to update this thing. So good on you. Any more questions? I'm fine with this moving to consent.
I may have an offline conversation with you about one of the sticky points in the first recommendations that were made and how that will affect this, but I'd rather.
Okay.
Just because I'm not sure I have the right question in my head and I don't want to be on the record looking like a dumb or humble, just to say.
Okay, so they're gonna be reviewing this. It says by the beginning of October and hope to begin project work in early November. That's no longer the case.
No, yeah. So we'll have to update the dates. We were originally hoping to move faster, sure. But this when we sent out the RFP, we had to then relist it because we didn't get any applicants the first round, okay. And so then that kind of delayed the whole process, okay. And then just being able to get it prepared in front of the board.
Are you still hoping to have the contract complete by June 30, 25?
We'll probably do basically 12 months from whenever we can officially start. The goal is to have it done about the same time that the comprehensive plan is done, because then when the comprehensive plan is implemented and any changes to Island County Code are made, we would want to make sure those changes to code are also reflected in the any potential update recommendations for the coordinated water system plan.
Okay, so we could feasibly continue this conversation into late next fall.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with consent. Janet?
I think so. I would not be surprised if it gets pulled for conversation, given the importance of water in our community. I think this is a really good step in the right direction, and the fact that we have one commissioner may want
to. So let's talk questions about that. Do you want to have them give a presentation with actual slides and what the history and what the changes are and all of that kind of stuff at a regular session? We could do that.
I would personally leave it at consent, but I wanted you to be aware that it could get pulled because we have an important part of our board that isn't here today that may have additional questions. I'm fine. If you're fine, we can leave it on consent. If Commissioner Johnson says, yeah, you've briefed me on this, she's good with it, that helps us just be efficient. But I think this is, you're doing critical work here for the future of our islands. And if you want to shine a light on it, I would support that as well.
When do you want to bring it to consent? When are we looking at?
Ideally, as soon as possible. The consultant's ready to go, and we're just waiting for the signed contract at this point.
Have the documents to bring it next
Tuesday. So. Okay. Consent's fine.
And okay.
If we need to pull it. Okay.
All right. Thank you,
everybody.
Thank you.
So, Commissioner St. Clair, we got through this meeting way early, and that was helped by people pulling their items. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about today before we adjourn?
Not that I haven't mentioned already.
Okay, well then this work session is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.